is the Tom Likas Show.
About a recipe for pancakes.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
You like pancakes?
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning in to the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 24-7 at blowmeuptom.com. Our podcast is available on demand. Just go to premiumtom.com. That's premiumtom.com. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time. We present our P1 Mr. Charter advertiser and our friend. And in this week, he appears in his guise as criminal defense attorney Adam Sachs. Sounds like a TV series, doesn't it?
No doubt. A good show, I presume.
No doubt. Well,
Tom, you look different this week, I must say.
Well, I want to say you've never looked better, Adam.
Thank you. I really appreciate you saying that.
No.
I'm not going to lie,
because people who've been listening know that I, for one day only, I am at the ranch up north, and Adam is in the studio in Burbank. Now, Adam has been bumming about this and musing about this for weeks, knowing it was coming. But everybody else has been in the studio doing the show. Gary, Dean, Mike, everybody's been cool with it. But Adam has been freaking. You've been freaking.
Yeah, I'm a big complainer,
since he's been here. Yes, he's just been very unhappy about this. And I said, it's just like talking to somebody on the phone. You don't need to see him.
Thanks for the support, Gary.
I'm supporting you. I could be
up at the ranch with Tom right now. That would
fantastic.
Be fun.
I don't know. Could you get up there quick enough?
I get the shit about the iPhone. You know, this is too much, you guys. Can we talk law, for God's sake?
Wait a minute. But if Tom had if he had an iPhone, you could be looking at him on the video.
All
right,
Tom,
right now,
I use an iPhone. I'm sorry,
FaceTime.
Okay?
You could FaceTime together right now. You guys could be looking.
Tom doesn't have an iPhone.
No, you can do it with Skype. You can do it with Skype.
Okay.
You get a Skype app on your iPhone.
I have Skype.
I have Skype. Let's go. Come on.
So first I offered to dress Dino up as you. And then
blow it out
Adam,
your ass,
Adam
Gary.
Could just look at Dino, but now he's agreed to just look at me and pretend that I'm you.
I'm great. Tom, it's great to talk to you.
So you're sitting in... Wait, I want to picture this. All right, Gary, are you sitting in my chair?
No. He's in the control room with me.
I have sunglasses if you really want me to go in. And I'll tell you what, man. I'm pushing like 200. I could really pull this off. I got a big black jacket and sunglasses. Fuck it, I'm coming in.
Come on in.
Tom, I brought you a nice plate of baby back ribs.
Yeah, he did get good ribs.
All the guys had them.
You did?
Yeah, somebody ate yours. I'm sorry.
I hate to miss that.
So, Tom, I got a great thing for you this week, Tom. I've been thinking of the ultimate crossover.
That?
This is serious, Tom. I've been thinking about the ultimate crossover from Likas 101 to criminal law, okay? And here it is, all right?
Okay.
We have the first generation of guys who have been raised by single mothers, okay? And when you get pulled over by the cops or when you get arrested, what's the rule, Tom? What do, Tom? You shut the fuck up, okay? And these little girls...
Well, by the way, that's a good rule for dating or cops or
anything. By the way, it's absolutely true. You know perfectly well, if you're on a date and you blah, 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 she's going to find out that you listen to the Fox News Network or that you don't like cats or whatever, one way or another, she's not going to sleep with you. I got Dino with
me. It's like your Miranda rights. Sergeant Joe Friday years ago said, you know, everything you say can and will be used against you.
I got Dino here in front of me with the sunglasses, Tom. He's looking down the sunglasses at the phone. He's doing that thing you do, that little that head leaning forward thing to like look over the glasses at the phone.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Right.
So the bottom line is, seriously, the best advice is to shut up. And these guys, Tom, and by the way, most arrestees are men. Most people in jail are men. These guys are like little girls. They get pulled over. They get arrested. And they will not shut up. And they're talking to the cop about, they're your friend. They're not your friend, for God's sake. What's unbelievable is that I start asking them about the case, and they really hesitate to talk to me. And I say, listen, I'm an attorney. You're allowed to talk to me. It's okay. Lay it on me. I need to know the whole story. It's totally confidential. And meanwhile, they spill their guts to the cop, and they tell me, you know, I signed something, but I didn't read it, and I don't have a copy of it. I go, really? Yeah, John told me to sign it. I go, John? Who's John? Oh, you know, the officer who arrested me. I go, oh, really? You're on a first-name basis with the guy? He's your friend John? What, are you out of your fucking mind? This is the guy who is going to be testifying against you. This is emotional, Tom. Anyway, so...
I understand.
This is the whole single mother thing, Tom. This dovetails with everything you've ever said about dating and the whole reality of being in any kind of criminal situation. Now, listen to this, Tom. You're going to love this. I'm not going to say the guy's name, and I like the guy. He's a nice guy, okay? And he did hire me, so I got to give him props, okay? He's a listener to the show, and he was listening when we talked about when you get pulled over for a DUI, you never do the blow, right? You say... I want to go and have a blood test. The cop is going to lean on you to do the blow, but it's within your rights to refuse it, okay? And one of the reasons you want the blood test is because it's more accurate, and it's going to be done later. It means that they're going to have to arrest you and transport you to the clinic or the hospital, wherever they're going to do it. And by the time you get there and do the blood test, it's been usually another hour and a half. You've metabolized more of the alcohol. Now, you know, Tom, that drinking coffee, drinking water doesn't do anything to your alcohol level in your blood. The only thing is time and your liver metabolizing the alcohol. So this guy, instead, and he even told me this, that he knew from the show, he had listened, he knew what he was supposed to do, and after all was said and done, he got pulled over for a DUI, and what do you think he did? He did the blow test, okay? And it came back 0.09. Okay, which is a borderline result, you know, right on the edge of legality and illegality, he got arrested, okay?
Meaning if he had waited for the blood test,
he could have
been under 0.08.
Tom, yeah. I you can take it to the bank,
yes,
okay? No bullshit. If he had told a cop, I don't want to do it, please take me in for the blood test, another hour later, he's an average weight, average size, he obviously had only had maybe two drinks, he was right on the edge. By the time he had the blood test, it would have been 0.07. He would have been legal. Okay? And so talk about somebody who knew what to do, who had been told what to do, who understood what to do, and literally is his own worst enemy. Okay? And this is the kind of stuff I see all the time. People don't understand the lasting impact of some of this stuff. I was talking to a guy lately who was taking a plea or some bullshit story. Anyway, I said to him, I said, you know... What do you do for a living? I always ask people this, and they think I'm prying into their personal lives. I'm trying to figure out how much money they have. Not at all. Literally, he told me some kind of thing that he does. He's involved in some kind of confidential something. He works at some defense contractor or something. I said, you know what's going to happen if you get convicted of this thing you're talking about with some kind of drug thing, marijuana? Well, the bottom line is you're going to get fired. Too many people are thinking of the here and now, which is to close up the case, to take the deal, to get probation, whatever, and walk out of there. And then a week later, they get called into human resources, which is all in these, you know, computer databases of all the computer stuff with, you know, crimes and all the different people. And they say, is this you? You had drug paraphernalia in your car? You've been convicted of that? And yeah, it's me. Well, you're fired. You can't work here. We've got security clearances. You're working in a secure situation. You have equipment, money. You're driving, etc. Our equipment. You know, you're doing tractor trailers or forklifts or whatever. We can't have you here. You're a hazard, and they fire you. And people don't think of that kind of stuff. People are only thinking like 2 seconds in front of them. So, Tom, that is the ultimate dovetail of Lycus 101. What do you think?
Well, I think you're right about that. Let me ask you about another thing, because it's not just drinking or drugs. How about simple things like a cop pulls you over. It's the middle of the day. Maybe you're going too fast. Maybe you weren't. Maybe you blew through a stop sign. Maybe you didn't. So the cop pulls you over, and here's what he says. Do you know why I pulled you over?
Oh, my God.
What's the right answer to that?
By the way, that is the classic thing that they say. You know, I used to come home from school and my step monster would say to me, I'm really pissed and you know what you did. And that is the ultimate freaking head trip. So you're sitting there. There was some parenting thing. That's true, Tom. There's a parenting thing that they did years ago where they said you should whip your children once a week. They'll know what it's for. Okay? So the same conversation is where
I've heard that.
My bitch of a stepmother is laying on me, and I'm supposed to tell her what I think she's angry about, and I end up saying three things that she didn't even know about. So it's the same mentality on the cop. The cop pulls you over, and he goes, do you know why I pulled you over today? And you say, no, officer, I really don't. I think I was driving legally. I don't understand why you pulled me over. Courteously. There's a whole subgenre, Tom. You got to see this. This was right out of... did you ever watch Tosh.0? My crazy kid was watching this, and he got me to watch it a couple of times. Pretty demented, all in all. But they have this thing on the internet where these challenges... where you got to eat like 2 tablespoons of cinnamon or whatever, and you got to do these painful things to yourself, and this actually gets viral on the internet, and people are like in the emergency rooms because of this shit. Well, the latest crazy craze, okay, is to really fuck with a cop and film it. You know, have your girlfriend get it on the iPhone or whatever. God forbid the iPhone, the Android phone, Tom, and post this on the internet, okay. And there are people that literally provoke cops. They, like, follow them because they think that the cops are, like, you know, going to do bad things or whatever. And the cops, and there's been a couple that are on the internet, which it's, you gotta give the cops credit, I swear to God, for the restraint that they show. And this one particular video, this guy is saying to the cops, screaming at him, "You fucking coward. You're a pussy with a badge. I'm not afraid of you. Go ahead. Shoot me. Okay? And the cop is just taking it, man. You gotta give him a lot of credit. But anyway, people are posting these virally, and this is exactly what you're talking about here, Tom. I'm telling you, the smart thing to do, I always tell people, and people are afraid. You see, this guy was afraid to say no to the blow test. But the key is this thing we talked about, small animals, okay? They're afraid of you more than you're afraid of them, okay? And you've got to handle it in the right way. You've got to be courteous, but you can still say no. You have the right to say no. People don't realize that somehow. So when the cop says to you, "Do you know why I pulled you over?" You say, "To be honest, officer, I really don't. Why did you pull me over?" And that's not rude. That's okay. We're not playing a freaking guessing game. And if he's going to search your car, he has to have probable cause. That doesn't mean you have to shout at him. And particularly in the case of the DUI with the blow test, where people are saying, "I don't want to do the blow test," the cop will not say to you, "You have to do it," because that's illegal. But the cop will say, "Why don't you just do it? It's no big deal. Let's do it. I want you to do it. Come on, let's do it. Can I search your car?" "No." "Come on, I want to search your car. Let me look in the trunk." "I don't want you to. Please don't search my car." "Well, I'm going to search your car. I really want to search your car." You see what I mean? And you've got to just be firm but polite. I think that that's a lost art, Tom. I think people have lost
the hope. Well, I think so, too. Well, I think that's true. By the same token, I think a lot of people are scared to death, and they overreact when they're in a situation like that. When in reality, you know, after you've been driving a while, you've been pulled over many times and asked questions like, do you know why I pulled you over? There could be any number of reasons you pulled me over. There could be any number of bogus reasons why you pulled me over. So I'm never going to answer a question like that. Never. And I'm never going to make it easy for them. You know, I had a cop, and we talked about this off the air. We had a cop a few months ago who pulled me over as I was driving south from my ranch heading back to Burbank to do the show. And the guy pulls me over, and here's what he tells me. He tells me that he was on the other side of the road, facing in the other direction, and he could tell that I was going 72 miles an hour by looking at me.
Is that ridiculous? Seriously?
Of course it's ridiculous.
So what do you do? Would you be stupid enough to argue with him about it? Okay?
I didn't.
Let it go to court. Let it go to court. He's going to lose for sure. That's a stupid story. Think about it. I mean,
now,
why fight about it?
I told you I've been to court with cops, and they lie. And
of course
the judge tends to believe the cop.
Okay, well,
but the judge tends to believe the cop because it's me and him. It's my word against his.
Okay, first of all, you don't go to court. You don't go to court. You send your attorney to court. Okay, that's number one. I take care of it without you there, Tom, as you know perfectly well. Okay?
Yes.
The cop gets disorientated. 50% of the time, he's not even going to show up. okay? But if he does, right. And you're right, he certainly has that uniform and that good-looking badge and everything, okay? And I say to the judge, who also knows me, by the way, okay, Your Honor, Mr. Likas told me that this officer told him that he was facing the other way and turned around. How could he possibly have estimated the speed he was traveling? Officer, did you use radar in this stop? Oh, actually, I didn't. Were you facing the other way? Oh, I'm not sure. Well, my client says you were, and it doesn't make sense to me how you could have estimated his speed at 72. That's pretty freaking accurate, okay? Not 71, not 74, 72, okay? And so, officer, I think, in all respect, that you're mistaken, okay? And you know what, Tom? I'm going to win nine times out of ten.
Really?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
All right.
The other thing not to be underestimated. Well,
the next nine times, I know who to call.
Oh, for God's sake, Tom. You know I'm taking care of you. That's beside the point, okay? That goes
without
saying.
Yes, you are.
You and the
yes,
boys are all covered, especially
yes.
This Zabransky guy gets in trouble all the time. I can tell. Anyway,
was he using his iPhone without a seatbelt on?
You see what I mean? You see? You know he does it. Where's your fucking Bluetooth? Don't lie. I don't see no Bluetooth around here. Believe me, Tom. This is exactly what's going on. Just between him and this new guy, Mike, over here, man, I could be busy for the rest of my life. But the bottom line is, Tom, the other thing you always have to remember, seriously, and this is a real perspective, okay? The United States is so completely different from the rest of the world. It's such a different mentality and way of thinking, okay? I mean, literally, in other countries, and you know this is true in, like, I hate to say Mexico, for example, that you literally pull money out of your wallet and lay it on the cop and he lets you go, okay? The United States is so completely different. The whole theory of the police as public servants, the fact that they work for us, that's completely unknown in other places. And the cops generally look at it strictly in a business way. When I go see them in court, you know, there's like the preliminary hearing. And like I said, Tom, I don't usually bring the client to court with me when I do tickets. So you wouldn't even be there, okay? The cop doesn't even remember the stop particularly, especially if you don't start screaming and yelling. If you act normal, he's done so many, he doesn't remember you. And I have to say that when I get to the beginning of court and they split up and they say, okay, go talk to your officer, and I go over and there's a whole bunch of cops and I say, is officer, you know, Nelson here or whatever? And he comes out, they are so courteous, seriously, you gotta give them credit. And I know, Tom, you're not a big criticizer of cops, and neither am I, okay? Super courteous, super professional. He says, oh, here are my notes. You know something, Mr. Sachs, I don't even remember this ticket. I'm just going to let it go. Okay? Seriously.
Wow.
Okay? Because the reality is that the whole concept, and you see this in these movies when you're an American and you get stopped in, like, you know, East Germany or whatever, you know, in the old days, the cop really hates you, you know? And it's not even the cop. It's like this secret police, and they're, like, you know, trying to arrest you and trump up the charges and plant drugs on you. I mean, I know there have been certainly different instances, and I know that certainly people from minority groups complain a lot about the way they're treated by the cops and whatnot, and perhaps that's fair. But overall, I must say that the cops in general in the U.S. are pretty damn professional, and they don't personally hate you, and they're just writing tickets, and they really don't give a shit. I hate to say it.
By the way, my personal perception of cops is that there's a big difference between the Highway Patrol. Here we have the California Highway Patrol.
Yeah, okay.
Patrol,
I'll give you that.
The Highway Patrol and the police of a particular locality.
Even so.
It's definitely a different experience.
Do you think that the police of some particular town or whatever, honestly, Tom, they pull you over for speeding, you think he hates you? By the way, he has no financial interest in the ticket. You know that. He's not getting a share of it or whatever. Okay, honestly, they don't care either way. They really don't.
But then of course, you see videos like that one in Fullerton, with the Fullerton Police Department.
Right, those guys are animals. Listen, there's bad apples in everything, right? I mean,
right.
If you get
well, that's why, even though there are stories like that, I've always said the same thing, that my experience with police has generally been a very good one, that they have generally been professional. There has been an occasional asshole, including one right near my ranch who tried to pop me for a DUI, and I was not drunk, but he was getting in my face. He was about 26 years old, I'm guessing, and relatively new to the force, and he was going to show everybody what a big man on campus he was. But the fact is, he had no evidence. He had nothing. He had nothing on me. He couldn't get anything on me. And so he wasted an hour of my time. He definitely did that. But that's an exception to the rule. My experience with police has been mostly very fair. Now, again, I'm Caucasian, and I understand your mileage may vary. But I've had good experiences with cops, and I generally try to cooperate with them in any way I can, as long as they don't ask to search my car.
But you're telling me now, when I'm talking about this thing that I mentioned to you, where the passenger is the girlfriend, and she's got the camera phone in the cop's face, okay?
Right.
And she's saying, fuck you, cop, fuck you. We didn't do anything, fuck you. Okay? And here's a cop. You got to see these guys, nice and calm, saying, ma'am, can you please stop cursing at me? Can you please pull the phone back a little? I got a right to be here. I got a right to be here. And you got to see, I'm telling you, these cops are taking it really cool. And there are a couple that freak out, but it's relatively mild. You know, in another right. country, you would have been shot. Okay? And when I talk about the circumstances, I think it goes both ways. Like you said, Tom, a police officer is an authority figure, so that's your parents, your teacher, the priest, all wrapped into one, okay? And definitely people wet their pants. They get freaked out. And you know you're not going to have your best judgment if you have a few drinks in you or whatever, but you've got to be able to stay focused, and it does make a big difference in your life.
And many of us really did do something. We didn't think we were going to get pulled off. Now we're afraid they're going to find out what it is.
Okay, but for example, if you have something ambiguous like marijuana, okay, and let's say you have a marijuana card, okay, and you know you've got marijuana in the frickin' glove compartment or whatever, okay, you're still better off saying you don't want the car searched. And the cop doesn't smell it, it's not burning or anything, so he doesn't have any probable cause to search your car. And you as a dumbass are telling him it's okay to do, you know, because you don't want to antagonize him. Well, that's pretty stupid because he's going to be very antagonized when he finds drugs a few seconds from now. Okay?
Here's another question that just came to my mind as you were saying this about pot in the car. Now, we all know that there are still questions between a federal level and a state level about marijuana.
Marijuana's a tough one, Tom. It's still illegal, you know?
What about drug paraphernalia?
Same thing.
You need to smoke the marijuana, unless you're baking it into your brownies or whatever. You need to smoke it. So you're going to need paraphernalia.
Paraphernalia is illegal, too.
But is it because we have legalized marijuana in California for medical purposes under certain circumstances?
Sort of.
Okay. So if I'm pulled over and I've got a marijuana card and I've got marijuana, that's one thing. But paraphernalia, there's no paraphernalia card, is there?
No. There's actually a crazy thing that happens to you a lot of the time where they'll take you in and they'll offer you a deal, okay? They'll drop the marijuana charge, and they'll let you plead guilty to having the paraphernalia, okay? And people will take that because it's a very simple fine and a misdemeanor or whatever, but then you get fired from your job, you see?
Right.
It seems to me, personally, if you have a marijuana card and you are subject to arrest, that you have to go fight it in court no matter what, okay?
Right.
And I'd love to know why the guy found the marijuana in the first place. Why did he find it? Because you're stupid. He looked at you. He thinks you might be a stoner. And so you let him search the freaking car without probable cause. Okay, I understand that law is technical and it's complicated. I don't expect people to be on my level as a lawyer. Okay, fine. But you did take constitutional something or other in high school. You took civics, right?
Right.
You know you have the right against illegal searches and seizures, the Fourth Amendment, right, Tom? Come on.
Of course.
That's your average American should have some awareness of that. And if you think about the way the cop is presenting it to you, he doesn't pull you out of the car and start searching the car, because he knows too. And he says to you, sir, would you mind if I search your car? Okay? Now, if you say, fuck you, obviously, that's not very intelligent. But if you say, really, officer, no, I really don't want you to search my car. Well, I want to search your car. Well, I'm sorry, I don't consent. Right?
Now, couldn't somebody...
This is still America, for God's sake.
Right. Couldn't somebody find probable cause as you refusing a search?
No, absolutely not. Of course not. And by the way, I saw a very interesting video also along these things that I was talking about, where these people confront cops, where the guy did not lower his window down all the way. Okay? You know, like when the cop was standing there by the car? There's a thing called the plain view concept, which means that when the cop is standing there looking at your license, let's say if he saw a gun on the passenger seat, right? That's in plain view. So he doesn't have to search your car to see it. He could arrest you and it could be evidence against you, right? So they say you shouldn't lower the window more than about halfway, so you're limiting the amount that he can view and also that he can smell. Because part of a cop's establishing probable cause is smelling alcohol or smelling marijuana on you. And they're trained to do this, of course, but if you only lower the window a little, as long as you're able to communicate back and forth, more, you know, somewhat, and this is certainly true at, like, checkpoints and whatnot, this cop was saying to the guy, I want you to lower your window all the way, and the guy said, no, I'm not going to. I don't want to. You know? And that's totally legit.
I'm going to tell you a situation I was in, and I was not the person in possession of contraband.
But you were in the car, Tom.
I'm in the car. Well, no, so here's what happens. Okay,
you
I'm
could
in
be
the
on
car.
The hook, Tom. Watch out. You got to choose
let's
your friends carefully.
Let's say I'm in the car with Art Webb or anybody.
Well,
who
you
might
have
be
to ask
carrying.
Him for it, man.
All right, here's
Webb.
What happens. Let me tell you what happens. And in L.A., I'll bet we've all been there.
Yeah, but with,
here's
with
what
Art
happens.
Webb, it's already probable cause without starting here.
Exactly. I arrive at LAX to pick up a friend at the airport, and I've got another friend in my passenger seat. I don't know what's in his pocket. I don't know what's going on. We're not drunk. We're not drinking. It's the middle of the day. We're driving normally. We arrive at LAX, and just as we get to Terminal 1, there's a checkpoint. A checkpoint for presumably bombs.
Yeah, terrorism.
Things that, stuff that people might bring on the plane and cause trouble. Box cutters. I don't know what they're looking for. All right. So you've got a friend in the car, and he's got stuff. He's got bags in your trunk. He's got stuff in his pocket. Maybe he dropped something out of his pocket. What happens if you get to the airport and your friend says, hey, I got pot? What do we do? What do we do? What do we do, Tom?
What are we doing?
What do you do?
Drop him off, man.
Drop him off.
Chris Rock had a great video about this. He said, you know, get yourself a white friend, or, you know, make sure your friend isn't crazy. No, it's true. You're going to end up being responsible. There are a lot of people in this world who ended up, you know, getting arrested because some schmuck friend of theirs had drugs on. I don't mean even marijuana, worse than that, you know. And it turns out that they were in the car, so they're all in possession. And you end up swearing, I didn't know, I had no idea, you know, I don't know what this guy's doing. And it's like, fuck you, too bad.
Right.
Isn't that the classic? Oh, they weren't my drugs, officer. They were Johnny's drugs.
Well,
yeah, right.
I know. I know. But
this is bullshit before you even say it.
The cops are heading towards my car, and my friend is sitting in the front seat, and now I'm
sweating
finding out what's in
here.
His pocket. I'm sweating bullets because just as we're pulling up, he said, I didn't even think there might be a checkpoint here at the airport.
You're telling me, shut up, don't say a word.
Holy crap.
Wait, that actually dovetails very well with what I said before, Tom. Rule number one, shut up.
Right.
Well, remember the three rules to having a happy marriage is sex
shut up,
all the
shut
time.
Shut up, shut up.
No, it was sex no, all the time, long hair, shut
long
the
hair,
fuck up.
Stay thin, sex anytime, and shut up.
All right, so four rules, okay? So
eight words. Eight words that could save any relationship.
All right, well, I'm saving your relationship with the police, okay? Shut
excellent.
Up. Shut okay. up. Be courteous and shut up.
We got a bunch of callers, Adam,
all right.
and we're going to get to them coming up here. And here is our telephone number if you want to talk to this week defense attorney Adam Sachs. If you've got a question about crimes you may have committed or people think you committed and you didn't, or all of these kinds of things we're talking about here, this could be you. So call
crimes
this number right
crimes
now.
You're thinking of committing. I like that.
Right. Or maybe you're committing a crime as you're listening right now.
Fabulous.
You can call us. Check with us before you do.
Okay. Call us from the scene.
Exactly. Use your Android phone, by the way. 901-3000-TOM.
Using an Android phone is a crime.
Yes. 901-3000-TOM. That's our telephone number here. It's 901-3000-866.
Listen to an entire year of Internet broadcast history now at PremiumTOM.com. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Let's talk about El Pollo Inca. El Pollo Inca restaurant in Gardena is owned by our P1 listener Antonio Atoche and his brothers, and they serve the best Peruvian food you'll find anywhere, including their famous Pollo a la Brasa, which is delicious rotisserie chicken. And that's just a start. They've got tons of amazing beef, chicken, seafood, and vegetarian dishes, and a friendly staff. Get their special chicken soup complimentary with every meal, and man, is it good. Plus, get this, the soup is all you can eat when you're dining in. El Pollo Inca, on West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, right on the 91, and where the 110, 405, and 91 meet. Check out their full bar, offering specialty drinks like their killer Pisco Sour, a signature Peruvian cocktail. And don't miss their hard-to-find Peruvian beers. They've got karaoke on Thursday nights, salsa dancing Friday through Sunday nights, even salsa classes if you want to learn. Get info at this number, 310-516-7378, or visit elpolloinca.com. El Pollo Inca, 1425 West Artesia Boulevard in Gardena, close to the 710 and minutes from the 605. Easy to get to, lots of free parking, no excuses. Get your ass out to El Pollo Inca in Gardena.
Do you have tiny balls? You know, you once had big balls, but things started changing around you. First television, then your favorite radio station. It all became so vaginized that slowly but surely, your balls just started to wither away. Well, don't worry. You're not alone. Up to 98% of men suffer from tiny ball syndrome. That's right, TBS. But now, there's hope. 4 out of 5 doctors recommend New Normal Rock. New Normal Rock, just by removing ballads, broads, and bullshit from your hard rock diet, will help you grow your balls back and get you back to that big bald lifestyle you deserve. New Normal Rock. Newer, faster, harder rock for big, healthy balls. Ask your doctor. New Normal
Rock. One of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life is what to study in college. Only problem is that most of you were brought up by single moms who fed you some bullshit that you can just follow your heart and the money will follow. Now you hear on the news about all the college graduates who can't find jobs. Unemployment is over 8%. Unemployment for people between 16 and 34 is 18%. You can't afford to piss away $100,000 in tuition, let alone 4 years of your youth on a worthless degree. That's why you need to get the book Worthless by Aaron Clary. If you're going to college or thinking about going to college, this is invaluable information. Worthless breaks down all the different degrees, their starting salaries, why some are worthwhile, and why others are literally worthless. And girls, this book is especially for you. Don't be that fool who majors in women's studies or communications and then expects the rest of us to carry your ass through life. Be smart. By Worthless. It's only $5 on Kindle and $13 in paperback, and it could change the course of your life. Worthless. It may prove to be a better investment than college itself. Find it on Amazon right now. Worthless. A bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Don't forget blowmeuptom.com. Oh my God, so much fresh content. Now on a newer, better, bigger, faster server. And dishing up fresh content every day. News for guys, Likas 101. Oh, videos, photos, memes. It's all there. Tom's blog. Go to blowmeuptom.com right now. Take a look. It's blowmeuptom.com. We are here with defense attorney Adam Sachs. 901-3000-TOM is our telephone number. Let's go to John in Buena Park, California. John, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam. Hello.
Hey, what up?
Not much.
Hey, John, what's going on?
Great. I got a question for you. I used to work out at a fitness center.
Okay.
And then the manager called me in one day saying that I was showing something inappropriate on my cell phone.
Showing it to who?
One of their salespersons.
Okay.
And, but I don't have a smartphone, and I never done that. So they revoked my membership.
So they...
Can I do anything?
They threw you out of the place, you mean?
Yes.
All right, well, that's kind of weird. Broadly speaking, this is
one more question. Let me get this in, which he forgot to mention. You had a contract. Had you paid in advance for this contract? Did they owe you money?
3-year membership. 3-year membership.
And you paid up front?
Yes.
All right. That's an important fact.
So they didn't give you a refund or anything?
Nope.
All right. Well, that's fairly bizarre. It's not exactly criminal law. But broadly speaking, I think a lot of these places that take the public in, like gyms and stuff, you know, very broadly, they have the right to refuse service to anyone. And they obviously accused you wrongfully, but you didn't really have any kind of a hearing or whatever. But at the very least, if they didn't want you coming anymore, they should have given you back your money. That's crazy.
Right.
I don't know how you paid for it. Maybe if you pay with a credit card, you can complain to the credit card company and try to charge it back. And other than that, you could take them to small claims court. How much are we talking about here?
Well, $80 a year.
So it's about $250?
Yes.
Okay. That's definitely a small claims court kind of thing. I kind of thought what you were going to tell us is that somehow they accused you of something and you got arrested for it or whatever. But that just sounds stupid. It sounds like somebody had it out for you for no particular reason and tried to, like, you know, kind of make a bigger emphasis or whatever.
Great. Thank you.
Sure. No problem.
John, thank you for the call. 901-3000. Tom, that is our telephone number. We're talking with defense attorney Adam Sachs. All questions legal here. If you want some free legal advice, if you've been accused of a DUI, you have pot rap, some other criminal issue that came up for you, someone's accusing you of doing something bad or wrong, you can call Adam right now at 901-3000-866. Dennis in Salem, Oregon. You're on the Tom Likas Show here with Adam Sachs.
Hey, Tom. How's it going?
Great.
Hey, Dennis.
Hey, first-time caller. I hope I don't get too nervous here talking with you guys. But
okay.
A little over 15 years ago, I was convicted of a felony, reckless endangerment in the first degree. I believe it was a Class C felony. I don't know for sure what class it was. And I was kind of curious about expungement.
Well, listen, I highly recommend it. I think it's great to do an expungement. I do them all the time for people. You know, it's amazing, considering being in the computer age, this little chicken shit thing that you did years ago always comes up. It's amazing. And I have so many guys that have been held back in their careers and in their lives over something that happened. I mean, it's hard for me to even remember what I did 20 years ago. And it would be really horrible to have this thing from your past that sort of, like, lingers and follows you. The way it works in California, and it's certainly similar in other states, when you talk about a felony, obviously that's a much more serious offense. You have to petition to have it reduced to a misdemeanor, and then you get the misdemeanor dismissed. So it's actually in two steps. I'm sure that's very similar to how it's done in your state. And all I can say is how lovely it is when these guys have this, because the way it is, when you get it expunged, is that it's gone. Literally, your original conviction, or whether it was a plea or by a jury, is erased. And they actually take the files and they throw them away. They burn them, you know, shred them. So I can't say to you the pride and happiness I feel doing this for people. And people that have it done, my clients, are so happy. They're so relieved. It's really like starting over, you know?
Now, what about Adam? What about traces of this that exist on the Internet? You know, people use these services like Intellius and 800-US-SEARCH and what have you. So even if you are expunged, isn't that stuff still floating around out there? And is there anything you can do about that?
No, you're right about it. It's really a problem, Tom. And this is certainly true. You know, there's all these instances you see on TV of these stupid, stupid teenage girls that take a picture of themselves naked or whatever, and they send it to some guy that they're dating at high school, and he sends it to all the friends, and then they post it on Facebook or whatever. And there really is this element of, you know, once it's out there and once it starts getting replicated around the Internet and it's stored on people's hard drives, and like you say, in these different databases, it's very hard to undo that and to sort of unring the bell. In the cases of Intellius and so forth, a lot of these are independent databases. But what's going to be important is what's going on in the court database. And so it may be impossible to deny it. And then probably the smartest thing after an expungement, if let's say you're applying for a military clearance or going to work for a company or something, as bizarre as it is, it's probably a good idea to tell them, look, I was convicted of this thing back in 1976, but it's been dismissed. So they're going to find some remnant of it, maybe, because like you say, it's in these different databases. And when it's all done, by the way, I'll give you like a certificate that shows that the court dismissed it. And you put that with your resume. You put a copy of that shows that it's gone. So when the Human Resource Department finds it, which they will probably, like you say, Tom, because it never really goes away, you've got a way to counter that. The big problem you're going to have in life is if you don't tell someone about it, or some kind of licensing agency or a state agency or an employer, and then they find it on their own. That really, really rubs them the wrong way. You'd be amazed what you can get away with as long as you give full disclosure and have transparency. And you say, look, I was convicted of this thing, but it's expunged and it's been dismissed, so it's like I'm as pure as driven snow. And you give them a copy of the certificate that I get you from the, you know, from the court that, you know, shows that it's been dismissed with a raised seal, and that pretty much ends it.
So as far as, like, when I was convicted, some of the conditions were, you know, inability to vote, inability to own a firearm.
Yeah, but that's ancient history now, right?
But that all goes away when that...
Right.
Well, no, I'm still affected by it now.
No, I understand. So you, at this moment, you still...
After the expungement.
Right, exactly my point.
Gone.
Correct. When you talk about... I'm sorry. Again, to answer your question specifically, you're right. I understand you didn't have the right to vote. You don't have the right to have a gun. Okay. When you apply for a firearm after the expungement, okay, you put a copy of the expungement, and then you will be able to have the firearm, and the same thing with voting.
Okay. And how does that translate to international travel? For example, I live in Oregon, so Canada is very close, and by having a felony conviction, you are excluded from travel into Canada. Does it work the same way, or is it a little
exactly.
bit different due to the international issues?
You bring a copy of it, and you can literally say to them, I wasn't convicted. Here's the dismissal. That file is erased. That case number is expunged. That's what I'm trying to say. It's better off showing it to them than showing up at the border and hoping they'll figure it out. Okay?
Right.
It's always better to go in advance.
What would usually be involved in that? What would usually be involved in getting an expungement as far as time and like a ballpark dollar figure? Is it terribly expensive?
Give me a call at my office, law offices of Adam Sachs, and I'll explain it to you. It's not expensive.
Okay. About how long does it take to do that process?
A few months.
A few months?
Yeah, not bad at all.
Huh, that doesn't sound too bad at all. Well, thank you very much for your time. That was a lot more than I was hoping to get on the call.
Sure, happy to help you.
Right. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate the call. Before we forget, Adam, tell people how they can get in touch with you if they got a problem like that.
Always happy to talk to you. You know, Tom, I still have people having a heart attack when I actually answer my phone, but I really do. You can reach me anytime at toll-free 800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. And that's Law Offices of Adam Sachs, which is on the internet, is www.adamlawyer.com. And I love to get email, because I can answer them at 2 in the morning, which is adam@adamlawyer.com.
All right. Adam Sachs again. Adamlawyer.com is his website. More of your telephone calls coming up for Adam at 901-3000-TOM in this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show, 901-3000-866.
Storming halls, breaking walls, and busting balls. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
Is your small business online? If not, you're probably missing out on potential clients. And that's a problem. Let the guys at Premium Interactive take care of it for you. The same team that produced BlowMeUpTom.com is ready to help you expand your market reach by doing everything from logo and web design to creating effective and efficient online marketing strategies. Check them out at PremiumInteractive.com. They've been promoting large to small businesses online for over a decade, and they're ready to put all of their experience to work for you. Now visit PremiumInteractive.com right now for a special limited time promotion called the Express Website Solution. And it starts at just $699. That's right. For just $699, you can have a complete and professionally designed website. It's PremiumInteractive.com. Just mention the Tom Likas Show and get an extra 20% off. It's time to get your business online. Get started today with PremiumInteractive.com.
You know, America loves the Gary and Dino Show. What's more patriotic than two guys sitting at a table, one drunk, the other high on pills, shooting the shit about a bunch of stupid stuff? Guts, glory, stupidity. Gary and Dino Show. Go to GaryandDino.com.
I am so proud of all you P1s out there, not only for all your accomplishments, but also because of how much you support the show and each other. So let me introduce you to a project by independent filmmaker Derek Dana. He's a longtime P1 out of Canada. And Derek took some self-starting inspiration from our show and actually made his own film called Squirrel Chasing. It's a documentary about an unusual comic at an offbeat comedy festival. But it's not just about comedy. It is a comedy. And Derek did it all himself without any big studios or backers telling him what jokes he can or can't put into the film. And now he's distributing it himself. You can buy it at squirrelchasingmovie.com. It's just $7.99, much less than the ticket to a theater, and the money goes straight to the filmmaker. Support a fellow P1 and enjoy a unique and funny film at the same time. It's called Squirrel Chasing, and you'll find it at squirrelchasingmovie.com. Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Defense attorney Adam Sachs over at blowmeuptom.com is bigger and better than ever. And it's available for you right now, 24-7. It is your companion piece to the Tom Likas Show. The stuff we talk about, the stuff we care about, every story we've done on the show, it's all there. All the supporting facts and statistics, embarrassing nude photos, oh, it's all there. Go to blowmeuptom.com right now. Blowmeuptom.com. And let's say hi to Dominique in Long Beach. Dominique, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Hey, Dominique.
Great.
Good. How you doing, Adam?
Great to talk to you.
All right. I don't have any legal issues at the moment, thank God. But I wanted to get your opinion, Adam, on actually a couple of things. Number one is real quick. In New York, they have this law where I guess up to a certain amount of marijuana is legal. I think it's an ounce. I'm not sure.
Right.
But the only thing you can't do is exhibit it in public. So you have all these officers stopping and frisking under the program of Ray Kelly, Stop and Frisk. They're stopping all these youngsters, and they tell them to empty their pockets. And basically they pull out a joint or something, and they arrest them for having marijuana there.
Right.
So I wanted your opinion on that. Also, this law in California they passed a few months ago that says that if you have a cell phone on you and a cop, I believe it's either if he approaches you and confronts you or if he arrests you or takes you into custody, he has the right to take your phone and go through it and get anything out of there he wants.
No, that's
and
crazy.
Even if it's password protected, they have software they can plug it right in when they get to the station and get the information anyway. And you know how much stuff we keep on our phones. So I want to tell all the boys out there, you got to either put that in your trunk or something when you're out and about, or encrypt your phone. I encrypted my phone.
Right, right.
Google it to find out how. But go ahead. You can just
sure. Things. Okay, well. I think
answer offline.
No, you can stay online. We'd love to have you.
Oh, you want me to stay online?
Okay. That's okay. It's better to have a conversation. Tragically, like Tom Likas, I am from New York, and I still even have my license to practice there. What you said was correct. New York has this kind of decriminalization of marijuana, where if you have less than an ounce of marijuana, it's a misdemeanor, so it's not a serious offense or whatever. It's not the same kind of thing like California, where you have a card or whatever that is actually police going to leave you alone. But broadly speaking, there was just a challenge to this stop and frisk law, and it has been found by a federal court to be illegal. And I think that's going to have a big impact in New York on what you've just described. It's really absurd if you think about it that for no particular reason a cop says to you, hey, empty your pockets. It's like, what is this, you know, kind of a police state. As far as the issue with phones, and this is true of all technology, to confiscate your phone from you incident to an arrest or whatever where they take your other property is one thing. But to go through the phone is very, very invasive. Right. And that's usually left to the jealous girlfriend to do, you know? So, by the way, anytime I come back into the bedroom and I see this girlfriend or whoever going through my phone, that's pretty much when I'm done with her.
Oh,
and,
yeah, that's a no-no right there.
No, that's really bad. And the police should have no right to do it either. And in the context of the police and so forth, you know, you're saying that there's some kind of rule in California that they can go through the phone. I'm really not aware of that. And
it's a law that was just passed. Maybe they can Google it real quick for you, Dino or somebody.
No,
they just passed it.
I think you're misunderstanding what was passed or whatever. Yeah, there would have to be a reason. There would have to be a connection between the phone and whatever crime you're being accused of. There are certain principles, you know, when they're trying to see what you've done, if they've arrested you for something. Let's say they arrest you for being trafficking in drugs. They might want to check some of the numbers you've been calling, but they need to have a separate warrant for that purpose and so forth. And the idea that they pull me over for drunk driving or for some kind of misdemeanor or I assaulted someone or whatever, that does not give them the right to go through your phone. That's just absurd. In fact, you know, one of the tragedies, and you're talking about New York again, of the 9/11 hijack, is you may remember this guy, Ms. Sowie, who was supposed to be the 20th hijacker, supposedly, and he was being held before 9/11, and they wanted to search his laptop, which is the same idea as a cell phone, you know, it's like computer technology thing, and the agent in charge couldn't get a warrant to do it. They said she didn't have probable cause. And that was one of the tragedies, supposedly, that if they had searched the laptop, they might have been able to stop 9/11 or whatever. But the police do have wide-ranging powers, but they have to be done in certain contexts. And that's one of the things that people consent, and that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show. It's very important to be aware of your rights. You don't have to be a lawyer, but you have to know your rights. And you have to recognize, generally, that you have the right to say no. So you don't have to say anything. The policeman says, I want to check your phone. I want to check your numbers. I want to see who you called tonight. And you say, I'm really sorry, officer. I don't want you checking my phone.
Dominique, good luck. We have more calls. You want to take another call?
Yeah, let's take another call. All right.
All right.
You game, Gary? Another call?
Yeah, let's do it.
Gary's looking tired. Right. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. I'm reading. I think what he's referring to is what just happened in New Jersey.
He said California, though.
But the ruling that just happened, which was last month, says that the New Jersey Supreme Court ruled that the police will need a warrant.
Won't need a warrant
to obtain the phone, but will need a warrant to search it.
Right. Okay. That's what I was saying.
Right.
All right. Good. All right. So even in New Jersey.
Right.
Armpit of America.
By the way, right here in California, in U.S. versus Worry.
Okay.
This is a May 17th decision.
I love you guys. You guys know more than I do. I love it. Go ahead, Gino. Tell us.
This woman's cell phone without a warrant exceeded the boundaries of the Fourth Amendment, and they should not have done the search. It was an illegal search. They need to have a warrant.
Okay, so there you go, Dino. So what happened was they searched the lady's phone, and it was determined that they didn't have the right to.
Correct.
All right,
they did, but it exceeded the boundaries of the Fourth Amendment.
All
therefore,
right.
That stuff was thrown out. They couldn't use it because it was gained illegally.
God bless America, baby.
I swear to God, if cops went through my phone and stuff, my friend Dominique right there got me all fired up. I'm thinking, oh, man, they're going to know what I'm up to.
No,
I'm not
come on.
That.
God bless America, baby.
Hell
Tom,
no.
Hit me with another call, Tom. All right.
Do it.
All right. Here we go. Ian, in Seattle. You're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, hello, Ian. Tom. Hello, Adam.
Hello. Yes.
So I have a question regarding a DUI that I got in San Mateo County in December of 2007.
Okay.
I've done everything except for the community service portion of that, and the only reason I haven't done that is because about 2 weeks after I got the DUI, I moved to Seattle.
Okay.
That was about the time that, the economy started collapsing, and so King County wasn't having any part of allowing you to do the community service through that San Mateo County ordered through the Sheriff's Department.
Right.
So at this point, I have a bench warrant that I'm not really sure how I'm going to handle, and I have, not immediate plans to move back to the Bay Area, but, I'd like to go back there.
I understand. I've talked to a lot of people in your situation, okay, and it can definitely be taken care of, okay? It's not just a question of living in the Bay Area, okay?
Right.
If you're in all of California, you are subject to arrest. And by the way, you can also be arrested over in Washington State, okay? They have these computers that talk to each other or whatever. You do not need something like this, an arrest warrant in California hanging over you. It's going to end up causing you all kinds of problems, okay? The way that you deal with it.
I know bench and arrest are basically the same thing, but.
Well, yeah, a bench warrant. But the point is, what it means essentially is that you, I don't know exactly the story, but you either pled guilty or found guilty by a jury, and you made some kind of a deal, and you haven't completed all the terms. And since it's back to 2007, it's a long time. You've exceeded the amount of time. Your case was probably called at some point. You weren't there. And so the judge put you for a warrant, okay? I go in for you. I talk to the court. You do your community service in your home state now, in Seattle or wherever. And I get you a certificate. We get it certified. I present it to the court. And the case is taken care of. Your bench warrant is lifted. And a year from then, we go ahead and expunge the case like it never happened. Not bad, huh?
Nice. Yeah, that sounds great. Yeah, I've tried to do everything else. I mean, I went through the classes. I did everything else I needed to do.
That's great. That's great.
I couldn't get done.
Well, what is it, 20 hours or 40 hours or something?
It was actually only a day. It was 8 hours.
Wow, that's nothing. Why don't you take care of that now, get a certificate, call my office, and we'll take care of it.
The problem is that no place in King County wants to touch it.
No, don't even get into why you're doing it, okay? You don't need it pre-approved or whatever. Just go do community service and get a certificate that you've done it. Don't tell them why. Don't get into, I'm transferring this to California. They won't know what you're talking about, okay?
All right.
Just go with, I don't go work at a soup kitchen or an AIDS clinic or whatever turns you on, and do that for one day and get some kind of a letter with an emblem on it that shows that you did it, and I will fix the rest.
Good luck, Ian. How about one more?
Whoa. We're on a roll.
Look at that. I told you. Matt in North Hollywood. You're on with our guest, Attorney Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hi, I got a question. If you get arrested...
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry?
Go ahead.
Let's say that again. If you get arrested,
I'm sorry,
what?
Matt, go ahead.
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
I hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you. If you get arrested...
Yeah, if the cops pull you over, you refuse the breathalyzer, and then they take you to the hospital to do the blood test, what happens to your vehicle? Do they impound it, or do they actually keep it there where you're parked?
You know, it's a very interesting thing. And by the way, this is not just the issue with the hospital. In general, at a curbside arrest, whether it's DUI or anything else, for example, like this gentleman that just called before had a bench warrant, and you can be arrested curbside for that as well. It's fascinating, but the police have extremely wide discretion as to what happens to you and what happens to your car in particular. And if you don't have an attitude and you're kind and you're reasonable, generally speaking, they will let the car be parked on the side of the road and you go get it later on when you get released. If you have an attitude, the cop doesn't like you, then he's definitely going to have the car impounded because he knows that that's going to end up costing you a couple of $100, you know? But again, you don't want to be penny wise and pound foolish, okay? If you are on the side of the road facing a DUI, which is an extremely serious offense and can have far-reaching consequences, if you have to pay a couple $100, that's not really the point. The point is you're going to have a much better deal going for the blood test, and I highly recommend that. You saw at the beginning of this hour, I was talking about a guy that was right on the edge of legal and illegal, and if he had done the blood test, he probably would have been okay. But he didn't, okay? And cops will use psychology on you. Cops will say, come on, let's just get this over with. If you just take care of this, then you can go home. I just want you to take care of this and, you know, clear your name. And this is bullshit. You don't fall for that. You say, look, I don't know. I don't feel well. I just want to have a blood test. That's my decision, officer. Thank you. Always say thank you.
All right. Matt, good luck. How about we push our luck and take one more?
Oh, Tom, this is like the greatest night of my life.
I told you. And our next caller, by the way, is a lot closer to me than she is to you. Ricky in Santa Maria, California.
All right.
You're on the Tom Likas Show. Hello.
Hi, Tom. And hi, Adam.
Hey, Ricky in Santa Maria.
I'm in Santa Maria Valley, actually.
Oh, my God. Even worse.
Yeah. Right, exactly. But this is my question. Can you clarify... What is the legal differences as far as penalties and fines are concerned for a DUI versus a wet reckless? And then earlier you were saying to take the blood test, but I was wondering if you say, I don't want to blow, take the blood test, they take you to the station, and then you are under and there's no crime, then how do you go get your car? Do they take you back to your car, or how does that work?
Right, okay. Well, there's two things. Okay, let's talk about both of these things. And these are very good distinctions, very good questions. Thank you, by the way. It is extremely common that when people are first offenders with a DUI, they are sometimes offered a deal to plead guilty to wet reckless, okay? And that is a less serious offense. It's like reckless driving under the influence of alcohol as opposed to a DUI. I would say generally
I thought it was something else. That sounds like a Friday evening of entertainment right there, wet reckless. Well, I think I've had a few of those.
I don't know if that's exactly what we're talking about. That sounds like a good thing, Tom.
Oh. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
The wet reckless I'm talking about is kind of a hassle when it comes up on job interviews, you know? It is certainly a less serious offense. It's still a misdemeanor and everything, but it is very commonly pled to and so forth. I generally would not accept it. When I go into court, I want to get the DUIs dismissed if I can. But there are people that want to get it over and whatever, and taking a wet reckless is a much better deal than a DUI. It's a less serious offense. But it is going to show up. It's going to make your insurance rate skyrocket. I do not recommend it, generally speaking. If you have a really tough case and you have a very high level of drunkenness and there's a lot of evidence against you, sometimes it could be practical to take a wet reckless, but it's still a pretty serious problem. As far as this other thing you're talking about, when you're talking about like the actual mechanics of being arrested and so forth, if you refuse to do the blow test, you're going to be arrested. And so then they're going to take you under arrest to the blood test. And that's going to be, I think, a much better and more accurate test. I really don't think it's a good idea to do the blow in general, even if you had very little to drink, because the machine is not accurate. There have been a lot of challenges and problems with them. There's a lot of technology fights about like how they function and so forth. And one of the realities is, like I said, that it's discretionary to the cop. Sometimes you're next to a mall shopping center and they say, let's just put your car in the parking lot over there and you can have someone from your family get it tomorrow or something. And if the cop doesn't like you and you've been an asshole, then they call for the tow truck and they, you know, impound your car. It's going to cost you a few $100 to get it out. But like I said, I don't think that that couple of $100 is your real problem. I think the DUI is your problem. It's very important to maintain focus, to think about how the DUI could affect you 10 years from now in not being able to get a real estate license or in having problems getting a job or dealing with other circumstances in your life. So I think that that's really the important focus. I think you can talk to the cop and you can say, hey, do you mind? I know you're going to arrest me, but can I put my car over here or can we move the car off the road and my brother's going to come get it? And if you're half courteous, the cop will probably let you. But they certainly have the right, if they want, based on the arrest, to have your car towed or impounded or whatever. And that's going to be one of your expenses. Getting arrested is expensive. It's very expensive. And aside from legal costs, you know, if you plead guilty, which a lot of people do, the fines are over $2,000 for a first offense. Plus, you have to take the DUI classes, which are expensive. Alcoholics Anonymous is free, but that takes a lot of time, and that's a big deal. And it's like anything else we talked about. These anger management classes are quite expensive in the context of domestic violence. You know, having brushes with the legal system is costly, and so certainly it's better avoided. But once you're in that position and you know you're being pulled over and arrested, you have to protect yourself, and you can't be thinking in the short term. You have to think about what's important, not the issue of the car being towed, but the issue of you having a problem in your life. That's what's important.
Thank you so much, Ricky. Adam, give everybody your
that's it, Tom. You're done. I've tired you out.
We are done.
That was the best, Tom.
Way beyond. It was good, right?
It was like an extra bonus hour or something.
Love
it. A bonus hour on the bonus hour.
Tell everybody.
It's Adam
Sachs.
Exactly. I'm with you, baby. Tom, if you were here, I'd kiss you. I swear to God. Anyway, my number.
I am here. I'm right here.
All right, well, I'll kiss Gary, and it'll be like the same thing. It'll count for you. My number is 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Law offices of Adam Sachs.
Yeah, and I'm just going to go home and have a wet reckless right now.
No, Tom, stop.
You know what you want. This is the show that tells you how to get it. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it is time once again for Likas 101 News for Guys. I'm Gary, he's Dino.
Yay.
We're brought to you in part by Beer Magazine. Go to blowmeuptom.com, click on the Beer Magazine banner, get your Likas discount to a year's subscription to the number one selling magazine on newsstands devoted to beer. It's Beer Magazine, a new study out of Chapman University here in California says that nearly two-thirds of men believe women should contribute to dating expenses. Pay up, bitches.
Well, if they meaning women in this case, would like to be treated equal, then let's pony up some bucks and see how we do.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, especially if you want to go to a nice place there.
Makes Chapman, the little ladies very nervous.
Thing there is a nice place to eat around Chapman. Hey, step it up.
Yeah, they don't like this.
City of Orange is expensive.
Study found that 64% of men surveyed believe that women should pay their own way on dates, with 44% admitting that they would stop dating a woman who never paid.
Right.
Listen, that doesn't happen. When does that happen? What guy do you know that stops dating abroad because she doesn't pay?
Well, he does a radio
show. I know it's a wonderful idea. And
he does an internet show.
I know it's a great idea, and I know guys say this kind of stuff, but how many of them actually act on it?
Well, here's the situation. They stop paying when the girl stops putting out. That's what happens.
That's
the real truth.
That's different.
No, that's the actual truth. See, these kids can't admit that in these stinking studies. They can't say,
right.
Listen, here's the deal. The girl doesn't pay, but she puts out, the guy's going to stay. That's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when the girl stops putting out, the guy will pay. That's it.
Done. But she walks away with a bunch of free meals. What do you walk away with? Nothing.
Nothing.
Dick in your hands.
Mm-hmm.
According to new research, women with alcohol problems tend to seek help an average of 4 to 5 years earlier than men with alcohol problems.
That's because men kind of are in denial. We lost.
Well, I think that it's more difficult for women to pull off a booze issue than it is for men.
Also, I would like to add this, because I have a postdoctoral associate in psychiatry from the psychiatry department at Arizona State University. That's the postdoctoral associate in the psychiatry department at the Arizona State University. I hope they really do have one, because I'm making that
just
up.
Just say what you're going to say.
Okay. I think the women have a chance to get help a lot easier than guys. We got to keep going to work no matter what.
Don't have the time to do it.
I may have a pill addiction, but I can't go to rehab because I can't stop working. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where bras, maybe they have a very flexible schedule. They could get in there and get the help that they need. That's from my psychiatry department at the Arizona State University.
Thanks so much for that.
Welcome.
Authorities apparently discovered a pot farm right here in Topanga State Park.
Wait a minute.
Just like miles from here.
Oh, wait a second.
$2.5 million
worth
of plants.
It. Oh, shit.
Plants.
You know what's going to happen when they do that big fire and they light it up? I'm going to go stick my face in it.
Right? Hopefully we're downwind from that.
Dude, five.
By the way, they found nobody. They busted no one. They've just found $2.5 million worth of plants, 5,000 pounds of mature marijuana plants.
All you have to do is be real quiet, and you're going to hear some guy screaming that they busted his fucking pot farm.
Right?
He's yelling now because the pot farm is divided into 7 separate plots, each hidden inside the chaparral forest. And they say that the damage to the ecosystem is significant. That's according to a state parks dude there. That guy's full of crap. Let me tell you something. Weed growing in anywhere helps the ecological system. So they're crazy. When the deer come by and eat a little of the weed, they're happier. They lay more craps and eat more. And lay
some
more
of the dumbest arguments I've ever heard.
That's from the psychiatry department at the Arizona State University.
Finally, a pick alert for you. This is a little creepy. How old is Madonna's daughter anyway? She's developing breasts.
Just be clear, she's
people
under
getting
18.
Very crazed about it.
She's under 18.
Yeah, well.
So she's just out there.
She's
just
all over the internet today because she's showing some cleavage.
Yeah, she's growing up very quickly.
So you're saying tickler file, but other than that, you just look.
You could just look, but she's putting it out there. But here's the situation. Madonna is going to get hers with this one. So she had a nice run.
I don't know if I can get past the eyebrows. Maybe she'll learn to tweeze those before she comes of age.
I got a man groomer for that. I'll knock that right out.
That's an Italian thing right there.
Yes,
and the weird hairline where the hair is starting to grow on her forehead and stuff.
Yeah, well, Madonna knocked it out.
She needs a babush. babushka.
Yeah.
Be making raviolis with a babushka on. Well, she'd be good to go.
Here's the situation.
From the home country.
I don't even know this girl's name.
What?
Madonna's kid.
Daughter?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Whatever.
Yeah, what
does it matter? Let me tell you something. Madonna's going to have her hands full because there's going to be a lot of folks waiting for this.
Yeah, I know. Everybody was
in
Lourdes.
Lourdes. Oh, yeah. Oh, Lourdes.
Exactly. Plenty more newsforguys.com. That's going to do it for us. I'm Gary. He's Dino. Check out our podcast, GaryandDino.com. Brand new show every Friday. It's GaryandDino.com. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, we are back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
On this show, I love talking about how to save money. Well, here's one great way to save some money. If you need insurance, Costlo Insurance is the place to go to get the best deal. That's COSTLO, Costlo. Independent, family-owned and operated since 1965, big fans of our show, and they're just great people. You know, when I was having trouble getting my Tesla Model S insured, and I was having trouble, Costlo got the job done. Quick, easy. Total pleasure to deal with. Are you kidding? I'm so proud to be insured through Costlo. I think it's great. Now, you really should give them a call. Get a free, no-obligation quote at this number. 818-707-7711. Or visit CostloInsurance.com and see how much you can save. Now, they represent lots of A-plus rated insurance companies, and they'll work with you to get the right protection at the right price. For property, auto, commercial, health, or life insurance, it's 818-707-7711. Competitive rates for all risks, from DUIs to spotless driving records, from basic liability to comprehensive full coverage policies. Do what I did. Call 818-707-7711 or visit Costlo.com today. Costlo. COSTLO.